This is the Roaring Elephant Podcast, and we're back again with the hype slash no hype things around AI and why AI is always bad. It always fails. It's always wrong. Unless you follow the tips that we're going to give you in this and the next couple of episodes.
Indeed. We continue this journey into maybe turning AI failures into AI successes, or AI project failures into AI project successes. Maybe the AI will always fail, but the project could be successful.
Not sure what's better, actually, if AIs become successful or projects become successful. Because successful AIs still make me a little bit wary, but that just can be my upbringing filled to the brim with bad science fiction.
All good science fiction.
All bad science fiction is good.
Is all good science fiction bad, though? Is any good science fiction bad?
What is good and bad?
Right, moving on.
This is going to be a good one again.
Oh, dear. We're definitely in one of those moods. Anyway, the...
But, I mean, this is an episode especially suited to you. This is your ideal episode, because we're going to be talking about...
Simple problems. Thank you, Jan.
You're welcome.
Oh, dear. Anyway, so this is another of the reasons that projects fail. And I think this is worth caveating a little bit. Because what the premise of this is essentially people applying overly complex solutions to problems that actually don't need them. So someone deciding that an entire artificial intelligence kind of project needs to be spun up for something that could probably be solved by a relatively simple set of, you know, a rules engine, or even a set of rules that would get the same end result. Now, I would say that I'm not necessarily convinced that this is a reason that so many of the projects fail necessarily, but I can definitely see that this is where people waste huge amounts of time, money, effort, and resources doing something where it doesn't need to be done. That, to me, definitely makes sense. I don't know if you have a perspective on that.
Yeah, I totally disagree.
Excellent. Why?
I mean, why would you use the knob on the radiator to regulate temperature? You can have a smart radiator knob coupled to a smart hub, coupled to a smart home assistant repeating loop that does checking with the geopositional satellites to see if it's winter or summer, to see what the temperature has to be. That's just better. Bit of a joke, but actually I want to make a point with this, that I kind of agree that it will make projects fail because expectation setting is wrong. And as you said, spending a huge amount of money, effort, and resources. And then we have a machine that does ping. Good on you if you find a movie reference for that one. But on the other hand, I would very much advise people that are starting their journey on AI to find a simple problem to use a complex tool, so you can learn how to work with the complex tools. Yeah. And that is a project, and that project could be success. It will be a much higher chance of success to do it like this, sure, than to take the most complicated, difficult question you have in the company and try to do that as your first project with AI solutions. So this is a bit, and again, we're taking this these things from a Rand analysis survey they did a couple of weeks, months ago. So this is not our tips, but this is one that does, on the one hand, make sense. Because yes, using complicated things to do simple things, sometimes it doesn't really matter, work out. But there are some exceptions here. It's just that most people, most corporations, organizations, make the choices using bad decision criteria, using bad ways of looking at things.
Yeah.
And this comes back a little bit to what we talked about last time already also, but a lot of times artificial intelligence projects are started as kind of a promotional project for a person. I want to be seen as a smart person here, so I know all about AI. And somebody says, okay, prove it. Okay, I have to do something with AI. Let's find something simple that actually will always be a success. As the project is a success, but for the company, it's actually a big loss.
Yeah. The other thing that I have a little bit of a problem with this particular sort of element is it talks like the very first sort of part of this talks about business leaders demand the technical team apply ML to a problem that does not truly require it. And then it goes on from there. Now, I don't... Maybe this is my mindset talking, and maybe I haven't worked in very, very large companies for a very, very long time. I've worked at smaller startups, in fact, ever decreasing size startups, at least when I joined them. They generally tend to be far larger by the time I depart, but I have spent a long time at kind of startup companies now. One of the things that I think is fairly common at startup companies is that, yes, you have strong leadership, but you also have strong engineering and strong technical talent as well. And all of the companies that I've been at that have been successful have been organizations where the balance in kind of leadership is like relatively equal as to whether you're a manager in that sense or you're a technical individual contributor. So I have a little bit of a problem with this because in my mind, those like the technical folks, the technical team that are taking this on should have just as much like insight and influence on what gets done, what gets executed, at least as the people that are saying this is a project that we need to do. And I don't really subscribe to this, oh, the technical team will just do whatever the business leaders in this context say needs to be done. I've not seen that be the truth or realistic in the last probably... certainly at least the last over 10 years of my career. I've seen it pop up now and again previously in my career, but I've not seen that be a thing that's done more recently. So I have a little bit of a bone to pick with that one.
Allow me to put up my cynical / sarcastic hat.
Of course.
Just for once. I almost never do this, but if I am... individual contributor is called on the technical side, and my not so much in the know manager tells me to solve a very simple thing using machine learning, I might actually be quite happy because I've been wanting to do this machine learning thing for a while, but I was kind of afraid because it's kind of complicated and it might fail and then that's a problem. But now I get a Christmas gift, simple problem, and I can start putting a lot of effort, time, money in that to solve it. Machine learning, I can educate myself. Risk is very low. I love it.
Yeah. But that is, in my mind at least, like if that was the mindset of that particular technical person, I think that technical person is doing that company a disservice because I think it's very different to what you were saying earlier, which is consciously agreeing to take on a simple project as a learning exercise, that I think is a good mindset to take. But instead, basically saying, oh, great, like I'll take, 10 times longer and 10 times as much resources to do this project just so I can learn something cool and look cool. Like that to me is not a good mindset to take.
I'm not talking about the look cool, be cool, but about organizations that don't allow their employees to learn. That they're just expected to, everybody does this, we should be able to do this too, right? Do it.
Yeah.
And I have been in companies like that, not recently, I must say, but I have been in those situations. And then Well, I mean, at some point as an employee, you say, if the company isn't going to train me, it's up to me to keep my career on the rails, basically.
Yeah.
Because, yes, you have to be loyal to your company and not dump money away. It doesn't make any benefit to the company. So you have to be, you're working for a company, they're paying your salary. You want to have the company be successful so you can keep getting a salary. But on the second, I mean, the bigger picture is also you have to keep on growing in your own career, in your own knowledge, in your own capabilities, whatever. And yeah, if the company doesn't do that for you, you will probably be leaving that company anyway at some point. That's typically how it works. So, well, a little bit of abuse here to keep your knowledge up to date and learn new things. I wouldn't begrudge the employee to do that.
Yeah, swings and roundabouts, isn't it? Depends on you know, largely what's happening in that organization. Anything else come to mind with you with this one, or should we jump on?
Well, I was actually saying, what is a simple problem? Because it's fun to say, don't do the simple problems, but how do you know what a problem is simple when you have never done this before? I've been in this, so I can talk a bit about that.
Okay, well, let me posit something first, and then you can tear it to shreds.
Yep.
Which is your favorite thing to do, I know.
Oh yeah, that's why I do this podcast in the first place.
he just really likes berating me. It's terrible.
You're so easy.
The thing that I would be looking at is if you can solve this relatively simply with things that you already know. Like, that to me would be the initial benchmark I would look for. Like, if you can solve this with technology you already have, and you know it'll be a good result, and you're confident that you don't actually need to apply something else, then that to me would be the initial step. But come tell me I'm wrong.
Well, you're not entirely wrong, but even things that you can solve with an Excel spreadsheet, for example, might still be a good candidate. And I'm thinking about automating it. Because if you're doing Excel spreadsheets, it doesn't really have an API. And if something changes, somebody has to keep a track of it, because now environment context changes, so the sheet isn't exactly correct anymore. Somebody needs to do the things, and the sheet gets complicated, more and more complicated, and it becomes a tool that nobody understands anymore, nobody uses it anymore. And to be honest, when was the last time you looked at an Excel sheet to actually learn something?
But then maybe it just needs a database.
Database, same thing. I mean, I see Excel as a database, but then you need to have software around it. So that's one part about automation. So you're already making the simple not so simple by doing software development around it. And this is if you're going to do anything with AI, if you do anything with AI, software development is part of it. So the moment you start doing a database, you have to have a little Python script that does the thing. So that's already something that's not an extra effort. If you're going to go to AI, you will also need some programming stuff. So that kind of evens this out. But the thing is, the changing of the context is important here. Because things like databases the simplest way of doing machine learning is anomaly detection, which doesn't do anything with models. It just detects trends in data sets. Now, that's something we can do as humans, as long as it fits on a screen. If the screen gets too big, it's still a simple problem. I could still do it. It's just going to take me a lot of time, and the chances I miss something become larger, because once you have multiple tabs in your Excel sheet. So again, it's also, you have to look at this as a point from making it not just easier, but a little bit more or less error prone. And those are simple things that could still benefit from an AI solution. So it's not because the data is small that you can't go to AI. It's when the data doesn't change. If the data is the same thing all the time and context, winter, summer doesn't have an influence on it, it's just what it is, then you don't need it. The idea for AI becomes beneficial when it isn't a, how do you call this? There are levels. The levels can change all the time. There's unpredictability in there. And for me, a simple problem for me is that there are no changes there. For example, if you have a web form online and somebody can go to your website and you fill in the form and you press submit, there is no reason to have any kind of AI in there.
Okay, I
disagree.
People
do
with
put
that,
AI actually. On there. Okay, go ahead, because there is one reason to do it. But
yeah, so the reason that I would disagree with, so I'll step back a little bit. I'll come back to that, because I have a very.
Yeah, he's going to say I'm wrong by saying something totally different. Yeah,
but I think I mostly follow and mostly agree with your earlier kind of premise. I think the example of does the data fit on the screen type thing with anomaly detection as the example, that I completely agree with. I think that makes perfect sense. I think it's not just a combination, or it's not just automation, but I think it's a combination of, because you can automate things relatively simply, mm-hmm. you know, simple Bash script, simple Python script, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think it's a combination of maybe three things. Like, automation is one part of it. I think the complexity of the context around the situation, I think, is another, which I think is the kind of thing that you were talking. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing, which leads me on to the thing that you're talking about, is which I don't think is solely solved even by automation, is scale. I think mm-hmm. that if you have, so going back to the final thing you were talking about, which was like the form where someone can fill in stuff and hit submit, you know, if you're getting 10 of those, great. If you're getting 100 of those, you know, probably okay. But if you're getting like tens of thousands of those and you want to actually do something with that information beyond just like sending it on to someone, like if you want to understand, you know, what are the categories of, let's say it's a feedback page, what are the different types of feedback that you're getting, what are the, you know, insights that you can draw, like maybe if you are able to connect that back to some customer type information, if it's like a recorded field that only your customers can get, like are you getting different types of feedback from your maybe lower end, lower tier customers versus your big high scale enterprise mm-hmm. customers, things like that. Those are the kind of things where, yeah, a relative quote unquote simple form submission actually could be a very good candidate for artificial intelligence.
Yeah, and that's actually what I was going to say. So thank you for doing my job here. Because for me, the simple isn't in the problem, it's in the desired outcome.
Mm.
When you do a form, and all it is to put you on the mailing list and then you get mails, that's a simple outcome.
Yeah.
Whatever. But if the result is sentiment analysis, mm. finding out what works, what doesn't work, what things you described there, the outcome becomes a lot less simple. And that's basically what I kind of meant by going into this little tangent here. It's very hard to define what is a simple problem unless you know what the end result, the deliverable, whatever it's going to be. So it's where you define your deliverable that you kind of figure out, okay, can we use AI for this? It doesn't make sense to do this. And you have to do this one step further. And that's a group decision, basically, because the developer, the project manager, the product manager, whatever, they all have to kind of agree on what the thing is supposed to be doing. Why are we filling this form? Why are we doing this Excel sheet to do this? Well, that can be simple or hard. And that's where the decision lies for me. And that's sometimes very hard to figure out because things change over time.
Yeah.
Your goals change. But you started a two-man business, you become a 1,000-man person business. Things will change. Resources become available. Goals can be set further. And that's why simple problems are very... It's not a simple problem to figure out if a problem is simple.
I think the point that you made that is absolutely spot on is make sure you understand what the end result is. What is the deliverable? Yes. What are you actually... Well, not even what is the deliverable, like, because you might not know what the specific deliverable is, but what are you trying to achieve with this? Like, yes. Getting a really clear understanding of what you're trying to achieve with a project mm-hmm. is probably the most important part of making sure a project is going to be successful at all, I think.
And it's the part that almost never gets done.
doing
success criteria and failure criteria. I mean, I've long time ago did the Prince 2 project management thing. I did a small version, the little Prince it's called. but it starts up with project definition, and the end is then criteria, and nobody ever does that because everybody gets so hyped up with the thing, we're going to do a thing, we're going to build a thing, we'll figure it out. And I understand, because putting down failure and success criteria at the start of a project kind of feels defeatist. It feels like you're already setting yourself up for failure because the success criteria, I'm never going to do that, and error criteria is so easy to. But the problem is that it's not because you have set a success criteria and an error criteria, or a failure criteria, that it means that if those actually happen, the project becomes a failure. It just allows you to learn if 1 + 1 actually did make 2 or not. And even if it doesn't, you have learned a way that doesn't become 2. And that's good. I mean, I forget who the scientist was that said that, but we don't have failures. We have just learned another way that doesn't work.
Yeah.
But if you don't have the success and failure criteria, you can't even do that. And that's why these projects fail quite often. A last thing because we're going to run over out of time, but I still want to add this one here as well. The premise here was using artificial intelligence to solve simple problems. Now, artificial intelligence is not one thing. We already mentioned anomaly detection, don't need models. Then you have the supervised machine learning with regression and classification. And then you have the neural networks. Those are increasing exponentially in complexity and resources required, and also exponentially in lack of understanding what the thing does. Anomaly detection is Bayesian statistics. It's fairly simple. It's just at scale. So humans, we can't do it anymore. Too many dimensions, things like that. But if you get a result, you can probably still kind of figure out why computer said blue or red or whatever. With a regression classification or other kind of more models, those are random trees, things like that. Random forest models. It becomes a lot harder. And that's why these machine learning models typically have explainability built in. So when they give you a result, they don't just tell you it's 1 or 2, but it's so much percent yes or no because of these dependent variables to help us humans to learn it. But again, you need more insight, and it's a bit more of a gray area. If you go into neural networks, those are non-stochastic. Simply, neuronetic means put something in, something comes out, and by design, basically, you don't know how the computer got to the result. And that is, again, much more complicated. For the things that we talked about now, again, if you do your criteria, also decide how much of AI you need to use. Don't throw a neural network on something that's simple and therefore should be expected that you can understand and explain why. Computer says no. Use something that's good enough to do the thing, and it'll be better in the amount of people you need, the knowledge they need, the infrastructure will be required, the speed and everything. Again, use the tool required for what it is. And it's amazing how many people that are not inherently technical don't understand that there's actually a difference between AI and AI and AI. There's a lot of different things there, and Gen AI is just another kind of thing which is very good at some things, very bad at other things, and that insight is necessary. And that's why I like when you said at the beginning that we need to have a consensus between the management layer, the project management layer, and the people executing it, because they both have a lot of information and knowledge that has to come together in order to make a good decision there.
Indeed, completely agreed. So with that, and Jon hinted to it earlier before he began his manifesto, unfortunately, I'm not even going to ask if Jon's got anything else, because that is all the time.
He just started saying we both have to talk together, management and everything, and now he says, I'm not even going to ask.
Override. You can support this podcast by becoming a Patreon. Every contribution really does help. We are on YouTube. You can like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, and do all the YouTube things. Also, you can go to roaringelephant.org for a link to our Patreon page and for more information about the podcast. And please send any feedback you have to podcast@roaringelephant.org, unless you want to comment on the YouTube video. Until next time, my name is Simple Dave.
And my name is first member of the Roaring Podcast Union, Jon.
And we look forward to talking to you next week.
Goodbye.
See you then.